Thanks to a recent court ruling, the Dutch government is ratcheting up its commitments to address climate change. An environmental group successfully sued, forcing the government by the end of the year to cut the nation's greenhouse gas emissions by 25% from 1990 levels. Dennis Van Berkel is legal counsel for the Urgenda Foundation, which filed the lawsuit, and he joins me on Skype from the Netherlands. And Dennis, your argument was that the Dutch government's targeting for reducing greenhouse gas emissions was so inadequate they jeopardized human rights. How did you make that case to the court?
I mean, it was a very extraordinary case. You don't normally go to a court and say, well, this is the policy that I want. So what we explained to the court was, first and foremost, the grave dangers of climate change and how unique they are in size, and the fact that for over 25 years, the Dutch government, together with all the other governments in the world, recognized this danger but didn't do anything. So we argued that the dangers of climate change are so big that they threaten to violate our human rights and are, in fact, already threatening human rights around the world. And that such the violation of these human rights created an obligation on the state to prevent these harms from coming into being. And the only way to do that is to lower emissions.
Of course, you went to the court with that intent, but were you surprised by your victory?
Well, I guess yes and no. I mean, we didn't know that we would win, but we knew that we had a very strong argument. And the Dutch state itself had recognized time and time and time again, as any other country in the world, that climate change is a huge threat and that current efforts were not enough in order to prevent these threats. So we thought we had a very good legal basis to ask the court to order the state to reduce its emissions.
As we mentioned, your victory in court means the Dutch government has to now cut the nation's greenhouse gas emissions by 25% from 1990 levels by the end of 2020. In practical terms, what does that mean for the Netherlands?
Well, the government has taken a number of measures. It has increased subsidies for people to install, for instance, certain insulations or solar panels on their houses and a bunch of other things, including closure of coal-fired power plants. Unfortunately, they haven't done enough, so they'll have to do more. There's still a very significant gap, so they'll have to take additional measures in the very short term. It would have been better if they had taken more time for that. But now it's, you know, one of the things that they'll probably have to do to in order to reach the target is to close an additional couple of coal-fired power plants.
Yes. Tell us more a little bit about that. I mean, are power plants on a larger scale going to have to shut down there?
Well, coal is the most polluting energy source in the world. And unfortunately, in the Netherlands, just a couple of new coal-fired power plants were opened in 2015 and 2016. There is other less polluting generating capacity still available in this area of Europe and also inside of the Netherlands. But because coal is cheaper at the moment and coal is not paying for its pollution, those coal-fired power plants are still running. But this judgment basically says, well, you know, it's not just about the costs. These emissions are causing harm. One of the most likely measures that the government will have to take is to close these plants down and to speed up their investment in alternative sources. And in the meantime, they're still, you know, it doesn't mean that the lights have to go out here.
Right.
But it does mean that they have to treat the transition to renewable energy with much more urgency than they have done so far.
I'm thinking about the Netherlands' place in the world. It's just one country, so even a big victory there might not do much to reverse the global trend toward climate catastrophe is really what we're talking about. Do you think this ruling could have happened in any other country, say the United States?
I'm convinced that it can. The legal principles that we use in this case are not unique, and the facts are not unique to the Netherlands at all. And I think it's very telling, for instance, that on the day of the judgment, the UN High Commissioner on Human Rights came out with a statement saying that, you know, this judgment implies that also all other countries around the world, under fundamental international human rights law, have legal obligations to reduce their emissions. Right. So this is not a unique thing to the Netherlands. I mean, the Dutch government also said, we're just a small country. It doesn't really matter what we do. And that's what we see all countries say, right? For instance, now in Australia, you see the Australian prime minister say, well, you know, Australia is just tiny, so we're not going to do anything about climate change, regardless of the fact that the whole country is on fire because of the impacts of climate change. And this ruling shows that that argument just doesn't fly. You have a legal obligation to do your part. And that's the sort of the main message of this judgment.
There are other climate lawsuits around the world. How do you have a big impact? Is there any possibility of legal action in international courts, which are, after all, based right there in The Hague?
Well, international law and also the courts on the international level move slowly. And to get a case, I mean, there are efforts to get a case before the International Court of Justice. Countries themselves will basically have to agree before a case gets put before that court. So, but as a citizen, you can't directly go to that court. But as a citizen, you can go to your own court in your own country. And those courts have an obligation to listen to your case and have an obligation to, in the event that they also come to the conclusion that your rights are being violated, to then come with some sort of remedy, which, you know, in the context of climate change, the only real viable remedy is that emissions need to be lowered, because that's the only way we can prevent these catastrophic impacts.
Why target the government with these legal challenges and not fossil fuel companies?
Well, because governments have very particular responsibilities towards their citizens. That's the first reason. Under, you know, almost every constitution, governments have obligations with regards to their citizens. And those obligations are the obligations and the rights that we used in this case. And governments also as well have recognized, you know, since 1992, when the Framework Convention on Climate Change was closed, governments, all governments in the world, recognize that they have a responsibility. They recognize that they are the prime entities responsible for dealing with this problem. And they repeated that when closing the Kyoto Protocol. Again, in 2015, all countries in the world repeated, yes, this is a tremendous problem. We are responsible and we need to solve this. That's the first part. And the second part also is, governments have the type of systemic powers that you need to solve this problem. Now, we'll really need to completely reinvent the energy system. Large investments will need to be made, because often renewable energy is cheaper than the fossil fuel alternative, but you have to make upfront investments. And states are uniquely equipped and sort of the only real entity in the world that is able to take these types of steps.
I want to ask you one last question about the most recent UN negotiations on climate change in Madrid. At the end of the year, there was little progress to show for it. What do you make of the sluggish pace of international action on climate change? I mean, this is 4 years after the Paris Agreement, which was hailed as really the new era for global action to deal with the climate crisis.
Oh, I think it's extremely disconcerting. Basically, nothing was achieved in Madrid, and that was an achievement in itself, because there was a big threat that there would be a big step back. I mean, so that's how dire the situation right now is. And it only increases the chance that more of these cases will pop up around the world. I mean, it's my honest hope that we don't need to go to court all around the world, people all around the world, to demand that their rights are being respected. I mean, it's the role of the government to act in the interest of the people. And there's no doubt about it that that interest is to deal with this problem, as they have recognized for over decades now. This year in 2020 is the year that countries agreed that they would increase their ambition that they laid down in Paris, because Paris didn't set a target. It just set in a mechanism of continuously increasing the ambition. So that's what we desperately need. And if countries are not going to go through with those increases of ambition and taking additional action, it's just inevitable that people will go to the courts and demand that their rights are being respected.
That's Dennis van Berkel, legal counsel for the Urgenda Foundation, a Dutch environmental group that successfully sued the government there to force action on climate change. Dennis, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tanya.